what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I am your host. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And joining me as always, but this time from a car in Las Vegas, I don't think he's on the strip. I don't know who's with him. Don't ask questions you don't want answers to. He is Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how's it going out there?
Eddie, I am doing very well. It is great to talk to you. I miss seeing you this week. But I'm in Las Vegas, and I'm not driving, actually. So I'm just actually sitting in a car to talk to you because I'm at my in-laws' house. We've got, I think there's a few families here. The kids, so it's a little bit earlier tonight than it is in Texas. We're on the Pacific time.
Right.
And it's a little chaotic right now in the house. A lot going on. Right before you came, there was kids running up and down our hall screaming, and I figured that probably wasn't the best idea for the show.
That's, well, you know, it could be fun for about the first 5 seconds.
For a minute. That's how I feel as well.
Yeah.
It's fun for a minute, and, you know, I'm not in that screaming baby stage, and so it's definitely an adjustment, right? I think I was telling my sister-in-law, I haven't been around, so my youngest is six, right? And
mm-hmm.
I haven't been around a baby. The only babies I'm around are your babies, and so it's been a while since I've been here, and it always makes me, it gives me pause, you know? I'm glad I'm done having kids.
Yeah, it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, too, but that's a whole different story.
Well, I believe that. So, Eddie, let's get some business out of the way. You can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. Eddie,
we can find you at a super spreader is where we can find you.
Where you could?
So we can find you at a super spreader. That's where we can find you.
Oh, my gosh. So I got to Vegas, and starting, like, today, they are now going to have, like, brand new, like, a lockdown. And the governor didn't go as far as to say, like, hey, it's not a lockdown, but it's a break, right?
Right.
It's a break from doing anything. And they want people that, if you are, and he wanted to say not a lockdown, just a break, they want people that if you're not in the same household, you don't live together, then you need to be wearing masks all the time. So, like, they want me wearing a mask in the house right now
while
I'm with my in-laws. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I really doubt it. I'm sure your wife would love to have your mouth covered most of the time you're in the house, but that's not how it's going to work.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, and I'm nervous, you know, like, obviously, they're trying to shut stuff down. Going back, you worry, like, the UFC is here through the end of the year. Is that going to limit anything that they're able to do?
When it comes to money, I'm going to guess no.
Yeah, no, that's probably true as well. But, Eddie, this is really kind of a crazy week. You know, Thanksgiving week, you had so many people who typically have traditions or plans for Thanksgiving that are really being stopped and changed. I mean, people are canceling their vacation. They're canceling their get-togethers, their dinners. And what are your plans?
Well, get this. For some reason, my mom and sister decided to come to Austin for Thanksgiving, which they never do. And then, come find out this weekend, my sister may have COVID. Since she had been previously in Vegas and L.A. and went to a wedding and all sorts of places. I'm like, well, yeah, no kidding. But now, so she's in the hospital. Apparently, she's tested negative, but I'm going to wait for a couple more tests before I count on that. I told my mom that her, my niece, my brother-in-law, they all got to get tested or they will not see me this whole week. Like, this ain't a suicide pact. You know, I'll wait for next Thanksgiving to see you. It's okay. I will sit around and eat McDonald's. I am fine with that. There's football. I'll be good.
You don't need, but this ain't that great of games. I mean, the Cowboys are playing, and I know they won this week, but that's not that great of a game.
You know what's the worst game? Laying in the hospital with a respirator down your throat.
I did see that you did put a video out of that, and I don't know. I mean, Texans Lions is not really good either, though.
It's not. Who picked that game? I know the.
Oh, I don't know.
Why are the Lions still the Thanksgiving game? Can we end that tradition? Some traditions need to go. The Lions on Thanksgiving ruins any meal unless you're going for the other team.
Yep. Hey, one last thing before we get into UFC 255, Eddie. Good news. I finally got my first piece of Dodgers championship gear. I'm actually wearing it right now. I'm wearing a Dodgers Champions 2020 sweatshirt.
Why isn't this on our Instagram?
Well, I got a haircut too. Actually, I had grown my hair out since the beginning of the virus. I mean, literally since March. And I have a haircut.
Who told you could get a haircut?
Maybe I'll post a picture. I don't really want to post a picture, but I might have to.
Are you trying to be like your idol Justin Herbert over in San Diego?
Oh, I don't know. What does his hair look like?
Well, it used to be glorious. Now it's crap.
Okay, well, I'm going to say no. My hair's probably not like that.
Okay. It looks like a rookie hazing hairdo.
Okay. Well, let's get into UFC 255. I got here to Las Vegas around 4 in the afternoon, so I didn't make it. I didn't get over to the Apex, although I drove right by it. I actually ran by it this morning. I ran by the Apex. I ran by the Fighter Hotel. And
are you going to get busted for stalking?
No, my brother-in-law had said that he had seen Mike Perry out running in the parking lot throughout the week. But yeah, the Apex, I've told you before, right by my in-law's house, and so I had to pass it when I'm going out and about. But UFC 255, you had two flyweight champions defend their belt. Davison Figueiredo and Valentina Shevchenko both were victorious on Saturday night.
You know, it's funny, watching this whole thing and looking back at it, the first thing I thought of was the Princess Bride. It's like, it's a bad idea to get involved in a land war in Asia. And it's also a bad idea to follow a Brazilian to the ground. But then it turns out, co-main event, Shevchenko, it worked like a charm. Main event, Perez, backfired bigly.
Yeah. No, it was a good night. Let's start talking about it, right? So, Deiveson Figueiredo, he defeated Alex Perez via first-round submission. I'm not going to – I mean, Figueiredo, he's a beast. And he looks just scary at the weight and when he makes the weight. He choked out Alex Perez in that first round. But the way he got there was really the most impressive. So Figueiredo, he looks just powerful, and he was not worried at all about Alex Perez's power. He took a couple shots, and then he was not afraid to kind of close that distance and come in. Perez goes for the takedown, and I was impressed with Figueiredo's his takedown defense, staying on his leg, although he did grab the fence a couple times. Mm-hmm. But when he did finally, almost get taken down, he rolled for a knee bar. And then when Perez is able to get out of that, Figueiredo flips over, kind of turtles on his knees, and then as he is getting rolling around, he's able to grab the choke, and he submits Alex Perez via a guillotine choke right there in the first round. And I actually thought that Perez was almost about to get out of it.
He really was almost about to get out of it, but almost only counts in, what, horseshoes and hand grenades? And it seemed like the only thing that Figueiredo was really worried about was Perez's leg kicks. He was switching stances a little bit in the the few seconds that he was on his feet. Other than that, like you said, he was just a beast. The fact that he was, like Joe Rogan said, probably 150 coming into the cage, and thinking that he drops, 20% of his body weight to get down to 125? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we know that it's not always the easiest cut for Figueiredo.
No.
He missed some of his media obligations this week because he was still trying to cut weight. And so... but just the total project, what he looks like in the cage, this is three quick stoppages all year. He's had three title fights. The first one, it didn't end up being for the title because he missed weight. It would have been a title fight for Joseph Benavidez had he won. He finishes Benavidez there. In the second time they fought, that was in February. The second time they fought, he finishes Benavidez again. And then now this fight, he finishes Alex Perez. And wouldn't you know it, he's going to fight again this year against Brandon Moreno at UFC 256 next month.
This is getting ridiculous. I think this is going to be the fourth event that the flyweight title is headlined this year. And this is a division that Dana White wanted to cut 2 years ago. And now it's his lifeline, basically.
Yeah, he really needs it, right? So Brandon Moreno, he defeated Brandon Royval. That was a fun fight earlier on in the night. Royval, his shoulder came out of socket, and he was just like in a lot of pain. You could definitely see it. He actually was finished with 1 second left in the first. Moreno, after the fight, he calls out the champion. I think he's ranked number one. Alex Perez, who was ranked fourth, kind of skipped the line and got that fight. Moreno called him out. Deiveson actually called out Moreno, and it sounds like they've got a beef. I'm not exactly sure where the beef come from, but he has an issue with him, and so he calls him out as well. And, after the fight, and it sounds like they've already signed it, Dana White announced that Deiveson, they're trying to get him to stay in Las Vegas and get him turned around to fight at UFC 256. Against Brandon Moreno, and it sounds like both of those fights, those fighters have now signed it. But what was really interesting, if you listen to the post-fight press conference, Deiveson was not happy that he didn't receive a performance bonus. And it's kind of weird to think that he didn't because he had such a great performance. But he said that I'm out of here. I'm going back to Brazil. And it sounds like the UFC, they made it right. They made it worth his while. And he's got that title fight coming up at UFC 256.
Yeah, they at least have to pay for him to stay in Vegas. If you're not going to give him his bonus, you at least have to pay to where he's not coming out of pocket to sit around there and wait for you to save your event again.
I mean, the fight's only in 3 weeks. I mean, it's not that far away.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really worries me about it is I'm worried that he's going to have kind of the Tony Ferguson effect where he cut weight for some weird reason for a fight that got canceled and he had to cut weight again 2 weeks later. So Figueiredo, having such difficult weight cuts as it is, trying to do it twice in a three-week span, that kind of worries me a little bit. But if he can make it down there in those first two rounds, I guess, he's still lethal.
Yeah, and I think that if you can stay in shape, and if you're already here and you're already, you're in the mindset of fighting and cutting weight, you can just now continue that. That may be a good spot, and he's not going back to Brazil and ballooning up at all.
Yeah, and that's what I always say: stay in shape so you don't have to drop so much weight to get in shape, and eat like a professional year round.
I get it. The one thing I do want to talk about, Davidson Figueiredo, is it's like they're fast tracking these title defenses to get him to kind of build him up. We know that Cody Garbrandt was supposed to be the fight that was supposed to happen this week. It was supposed to be Cody Garbrandt versus Davidson Figueiredo. Cody Garbrandt, I think he hurt his bicep, and he had to pull out of the fight. He also ended up getting COVID.
Pretty bad
Garbrandt
case, too.
This week. What's that?
Yeah, I hear it's a pretty bad case, too.
Yeah, and he's still suffering from it. So he said that he's still battling vertigo. He tore a vein in his bicep, which resulted in finding out that he has blood clots, pneumonia, and a mental fog. And he says, these are symptoms that I've had and been dealing with since he got COVID, and that's the reason I pulled out of the fight. He hasn't done it in the media, but I'd like to address it on his own terms. The real question is, you think about Davidson Figueiredo, and where does he match up? You think about the fighters in the division. You've got people like, Henry Cejudo, who left, Demetrius Johnson, who left. Where does Davidson Figueiredo rank in those three fighters to you, Eddie?
Right now, just based on his resume, I'd put him third. Because really the only name he's beat is Joseph Benavidez, who Mighty Mouse also beat twice. So I can't I can't say he's better than those guys. So right there underneath.
All right. Well, I'd love to see what Demetrius Johnson versus Davidson Figueiredo looks like. I mean, this guy has impressed me so much, and he's just he looks good at the weight. He's a beast in there. His power and now he has submissions as well. I mean, he's just really good all around. I think the thing that could really hurt and could derail Davidson Figueiredo is himself, and it's his own weight issue.
Mm-hmm. His weight and his English.
Yeah, no, that'll get you. I think I saw someone online that this was the main event with the least number of Twitter followers ever. I think Alex Perez had 4,000 and Figueiredo had 5,000. So under 10,000 for both fighters.
That's hilarious.
Just one quick thing about the flyweight division. Juicier Formiga, who actually has a win over the champion, he was released last week. He had three losses in a row, but his losses weren't terrible. Brandon Moreno, Alex Perez, and Joseph Benavidez. You've got to think he's still one of the top 10 flyweights in the world. But I think it has to do with money more than anything.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that the UFC, you think they want to build Figueiredo up. And I kind of doubt that. I think they just need him right now. When they had someone as marketable as Demetrius Johnson, even though he didn't put himself out there as much, there are ways that they could have marketed him well, being one of the greatest to ever do it, and they just refused to. So I think it's more of just the fact that they need him so much right now, that they'll try to figure out ways to push him, but they're not really going to try hard because they're still going to get a certain amount of money from ESPN for the pay-per-view anyway. So they're not going to invest a lot into him.
Yep. All right, let's go to the other flyweight title fight on the card. Valentina Shevchenko, she defeats Jennifer Maia. She was the biggest favorite. I think this might have been the biggest, the most. It was plus 2,000.
That blew my mind.
In some places, how big of a favorite that she was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you really look at it, it was – you kind of came in thinking that she was just going to dominate her and destroy her, and that's not what happened, right? It went to a decision. But
well, she did dominate.
She did dominate, right, but she didn't do much, right? She won that second round where she was able to take her down and stay on top of her for the round, but then you saw Valentina come back and, not happy with what was going on, and she started to land in the fourth and fifth round, but Jennifer Maia didn't do anything when she was in that top position, and that was one of the problems.
No, but – and what bothered me about it was – You would think after what happened in the first round and then how she was able to come back in the second, you would think that Jennifer Maia would have realized that she needed to unleash her inner Damian Maia and just sell out for the takedown because that's the only place where she was really effective. And like you said, it was only marginally effective, but at least she was in control and she was able to hold Shevchenko down. But then, you know, every round it starts on your feet again. And all of a sudden, Shevchenko is the one forcing the takedowns. And there were some massive takedowns, too. Those really takedowns hurt.
I think it was like, almost like a twisting takedown that she took where she took her all the way off her feet and like flipped all the way over. It was awesome.
Yeah. You know, that hasn't knocked the breath out of her.
Yeah. Hey, so let's think about what's next for Valentina Shevchenko.
Well, I hear she wants to fight again before the year's over.
You know, maybe we run it back and you have the flyweights main event UFC 256.
Yeah.
Maybe Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade is the next fight to make.
I'm all for it. But Lauren Murphy's a little upset, but I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, Lauren Murphy, not happy at all. You know, she's out there trying to get the fight. And Dana White's over here saying, hey, after Jessica Andrade, maybe it's Wiley or Zhang Weili who's going to come up and fight. So you never know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. There's so many times when people want to fight, Dana ignores them. And then he'll actually literally come out and say that they don't want it when they never said that. Now you got someone here on Twitter begging for the fight and just getting ignored.
Yeah, no. All right, in the another fight on the main card, you had Tim Means defeat Mike Perry. And Coach Latorre now 1-1 in 2020. This was a weird week, though, for Mike Perry. You know, he was out there, I told you, he was sprinting out by the hotel. Trying
running away from your brother-in-law or something, what?
Yeah, just driving by. He ended up missing weight by 5 pounds. But I think it was like the lead up to the weight miss that was kind of alarming.
Yeah, those cheeseburgers
you know,
will do that.
It became a question mark. He started like you know posting clips of him eating hamburgers ahead of the bout. Means said that Perry had been DMing him, you know, putting pictures of him eating burgers. He was sending him Instagram messages like 2 weeks ago, eating big cheeseburgers with onion rings on them, stuff like that. He said they looked delicious. He asked me how the weight cut was going. I sent him some pictures of broccoli and avocados or whatever. That's pretty good for Tim Means.
That is good clapback. So,
and then it gets weird. The night before the weigh-ins at 253, he tweets, I'm sorry, man, I don't think I can make it. And then at 314, he said, I've always talked trash during weight cuts so that if I couldn't make it, I could say I told y'all I wasn't sure. Maybe I've outgrown this. I tried to ask for a fight at 185, but maybe I just don't have it anymore. I'm so thankful for all the kind people at the UFC. At 340, he tweeted, can't believe I've been here this long. Maybe I should just lay the gloves down. I just don't want it. I'm in over my head with this weight. I was just 189 pounds, and now I'm 177, and I can't sweat. I ran with a nice sauna suit, got in a portable sauna for 15 minutes and nothing. And so, I mean, he was struggling, man.
Well, yeah, cheeseburgers will do that to you. Let me tell you, it's hard to drop those cheeseburger pounds. I mean, what he needs is discipline.
Yeah, no, I agree. On the way to the cage, they ended up playing the wrong song for him. They played Beyonce Halo.
This was awesome.
That was kind of one of the highlights of the night, though.
It really was. And he's actually walking out going, what is this? Wrong song. And then he just like starts belting it out. I mean, that's the vibe we need for the rest of 2020. You know what?
Yeah.
This is all wrong, but you know what? Just go with it.
Yeah. Hey, in the fight, though, he looked much bigger than Tim Means.
Yeah.
And, you know, you looked at him like that first round and that takedown, that was a mean, like he out-muscled Tim Means on that takedown. And, you know, he went for the submission attempts. And after that first round, and that's, you know, you could maybe give Mike Perry the first round. I think, you know, one of the judges did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Tim Means really turned around there. And the rest of the fight, it wasn't even close. He outstruck him completely in the fight.
Yeah, the rest of the fight, it looked like Tim Means against some backyard brawler who doesn't know how to strike. I mean, it's like Mike Perry has regressed. You know, once he had moved from Florida over to Albuquerque with Jackson Winklejohn, pretty much the best coaches in MMA. And all of a sudden, you saw a professional Mike Perry. You saw a patient Mike Perry. He actually looked like a UFC fighter that could turn into something. And now that he's gone back to Florida, he's kind of gone back to his old ways, getting in trouble. He's got a baby on the way. He's got no real coaching. And he just looks like an amateur now. It's kind of sad.
No, I agree. All right, going to the rest of the card, just quickly, I know we want to talk about Bellator and Kayla Harrison.
Oh, and just real quick, Ed, don't think Dana White's going to cut him. He likes the guy. He says he's fun to watch. Mike Perry's not going anywhere.
I know he's fun to watch. He's got so many outside-of-the-cage issues, you know. That's the one problem.
Yeah, but the boss likes him. That's all that really matters.
All right, so Joaquin Buckley coming off that spinning kick KO. He got another bonus. He finished Jordan Wright in the second. Looked really good in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
He almost finished the fight in the first. I don't know if Wright should have come out for that second round. But after the fight, it seems like, and we knew this a little bit before, that he had a beef with James Krause. He told Joe Rogan that he actually wouldn't say his name. Both guys are from St. Louis. Krause spoke out on Buckley after his last fight in Abu Dhabi. He said that, you know, he's been kicked out of every gym in St. Louis.
Yeah.
That he was a terrible training partner. And after this fight, he said that that Krause wouldn't let him come train with him. And it looks like he might be next. He actually trains with Chaos Williams. Each guy is trying to kind of outdo each other. Those are two guys that are, you know, highlight reels right now.
Yeah, it's one thing that I thought was really funny, and maybe this is one of your guys, Jordan. His opponent, Jordan Wright, did you catch his nickname?
The Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah. I'm like, is this one of your SoCal guys? Did he grow up down the street from you?
I was surprised.
Did you babysit for him?
He looked like a fighting Mark Madsen of the old Lakers. That's what I thought, you know.
Nice. And a little further.
Shogun.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. That was the Shogun. He ended up tapping his strikes in his rematch against Paul Craig. He injured his elbow in the first. Man, if you saw that elbow, that was disgusting.
Yeah, it looks like a softball underneath there. Yeah, not pretty at all. And I know Dana came out afterwards, said he thinks Shogun should retire. And I was kind of thinking the same thing, but then I looked it up. And in his last 8 bouts, you know what his record is?
I do, but it's talked about on the broadcast.
Yeah, it's 5-2-1.
It's crazy.
So he's lost 2 of his last 8 fights. So maybe saying he should hang it up is premature. So, but he's definitely not
top
level.
Years, though.
Yeah, he's taking a lot of damage, but you can't tell a guy who's like winning that much that it's time to hang it up. If Dana tries to cut him, he's going to end up fighting somewhere.
Yeah, he did say he's going to go home. He's going to think about his career. But, yeah, you never know if he's done. Caitlin Chookagian, she defeated Cynthia Calvillo. Antonino Shevchenko, she also got on one of the cards. I think this is the first time that two sisters won on a UFC card.
Yeah, and the funny thing is both of them are kickboxing world champions. Both of them won with their wrestling Saturday night. So I say kudos to their coach because he turned them into world-class wrestlers.
That's definitely true. Hey, over in Bellator, just real quick, AJ McKee, the homegrown Bellator guy, all 17 of his fights have been in Bellator. Mm-hmm. He defeated Darren Caldwell via first-round submission, kind of a neck crank. I wasn't even sure what I was watching when Caldwell tapped out. Caldwell was on top in his guard, and McKee put him in a body triangle. Then he reached under his arm and locked in the neck crank, and it just looked nasty. Like, it was just a ton of pain. Obviously, he's now going to fight the winner of the Pitbull versus Sanchez fight. But this is a great story of a homegrown Bellator fighter who has matured, who they have brought along. And this is great for Bellator.
Yeah, and they're not letting him go anywhere. So you can just forget about seeing him in the UFC. But it's funny, like, the submission that he used, like, apparently if you go to just the right gyms, it's something that's known. But most of the world had no idea what was going for there. So it's like one of those unknown unknowns. So it's like when he's going for it, you don't even realize that he's going for a submission until all of a sudden you feel like your neck's about to break.
Yeah.
And he's starting to call it the McKeeatine.
Yeah, I heard Luke Thomas. I think he coined that phrase at first.
Oh, did he do that?
Hey, Eddie. Yeah. Hey, tell us about. I didn't get a chance to watch Invicta, Eddie.
Oh my God.
Tell us about Kayla Harrison and that just like murder that she did to Courtney King.
Well, first off, the whole card was good. Let's see, submission, decision, submission, KO, TKO. So they lost their main event again. Emily Ducote, I believe. Someone in the main event got COVID. They didn't specify exactly who got sick with what. So Kayla Harrison ended up being the main event. And it looked like she was fighting an accountant. Courtney King, although she was 4-1, the athletic level was so far apart, it was ridiculous. She turned Courtney King's face into a bloody crimson mask. I sent you a picture of her stitches.
Oh, that was terrible. I saw you post that online as well.
Yeah, man. In PFL, they're not allowed to use elbows so they can keep the people in the tournament from from losing people in the tournament to cuts like this. So this first time Kayla's been able to use her elbows because all her fights had been in PFL. And let me tell you, those are some elbows.
Yeah,
she
I
split
just
her open
that
with
Courtney
one punch.
King had a good attitude about it and posted that picture online.
Yeah, she did. And the funny thing is she looked like a girl I used to date in that picture too. I'm like, well, minus the scarring. I didn't do that.
Yeah, well, that's good. All right. Well, Eddie, that's UFC 255, Bellator 253, and Invicta, I think it's 43.
Yes.
Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. And hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He's
You know, Jordan, I know there's no SNL this weekend, but you know what they will have on? The Thanksgiving special.
Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat the turkey like a good boy should. Cause it's turkey to eat so good. A turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat turkey in a big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey, turkey D, turkey, turkey dap. I eat the turkey and I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right.
All right, I love that, but that's enough of that.
There's actually so many great Thanksgiving episodes, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what they put in there.
Well, if there's not the Adam Sandler turkey song, I don't want it. But you know what I do want, Jordan? I want to see Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier in January, and it's finally officially official. What's up with that?
Well, it is official. We do know what's going to happen. We do know it's going to be January 23rd. We don't have an official location. Dana White doubled down and said that he's not willing to go to a stadium that won't let him have fans at full capacity, that he would just prefer to stay in Las Vegas at the Apex if that was the case. He actually told Robbie Fox of Barstool Sports last week that he actually wants to do it in Abu Dhabi. He thinks that he could put fans there, and we want to make it like an international fight week. That's truly would be an international fight week right there. He's working to see if it's going to be possible. They would do like a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. They want to have concerts and different events throughout the week.
Wow.
And so they're trying to figure out how they make that happen. But Dana still won't commit that this fight will be for the lightweight title or like an interim title. He still believes Khabib's coming back. He wants that. He thinks that Khabib still wants that 30-0 fight. You know, Khabib, though, he still is doubling down and saying, no, I don't want it. He spoke to a group of people in an economics class, and he says, you can fight until you're 40, but there should be a goal. I had a goal to reach the summit, and I got there. Further, I have no competitive interest. Next year, I'll graduate. I'd like to build on my thesis, do a master's course, dedicate more time to studying. I bought a sheep. I tend to my farm. I'd like to develop in this field a little. I have the bull calves out to feed. I have cows. So I don't see kind of what Dana's holding out hope for. And even to like not even just put an interim title on it, because my thought is if Khabib does come back, if he does get him back for that 30-0 fight,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be a lightweight fight. Especially
exactly
if, you know,
what I was going to say.
If it's Dustin Poirier, it's not going to be for a lightweight title fight unless it's against Conor. And we know that he doesn't want to fight Conor. So if he's coming back for 30-0, it's got to be against someone like a GSP. And GSP is not making the cut down to 155. So I still believe that this fight is going to be for some piece of a title.
I think Dana's pulling his own kind of Donald Trump and just really holding out hope that he can talk Khabib into fighting Conor. But in the end of it, I think by the time mid-January rolls around, it'll be for the interim, at least the interim lightweight title, if not the vacant title.
Yeah, the problem, though, is if Poirier wins. Because if Poirier wins an interim title, there's no reason to make Poirier versus Khabib again. That fight was really one-sided.
Right.
And if you're Khabib, that's not going to excite you to come back. Maybe that's when Khabib just officially drops it all together, and then he does come back for 30-0 and fight someone like a GSP at 165.
Yeah, and like just make it for the interim title, Dana. You love putting belts on posters. Just let it go. And also, yeah. Who knew that Khabib was going for his PhD? His master's. I had no idea. In economics, too? Wow. He's got sheep and goats and stuff? Wow. Like, who knew? So now, Jordan, back to more bad news. UFC 256 took another hit. First, they lost Amanda Nunes and Megan Anderson for the women's featherweight title. Now, Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling are off for the men's bantamweight title. What's up with that?
Man, it's a good thing that the UFC was able to sign Deiveson Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno for UFC 256 because that's now the main event. Peter Yan versus Aljamain Sterling, which was the main event, which I already said was kind of a weak card to begin with.
Your hater aid was rolling for that one.
It was, and I think it was warranted, right? But Peter Yan had to pull out of his fight. It's not injury. He's saying he's having visa issues, and he's not able to get back into the U.S. And so they're going to try to book that fight for early next year.
Fight Island.
I think that if UFC is going to be in Abu Dhabi, then you could do that fight in Fight Island and get Peter Yan there. But if he's having visa issues coming to the U.S., that's weird. I'm not sure exactly what's going on for him. Hope everything works out.
Yeah, let's hope. Aldo's been waiting a long time for this title fight. Dana didn't want to give it to him. Now he finally gets it. And issue after issue. And, well, let's hope, like you said, we might get another Attack of the Flyweights matchup here. So they might throw Shevchenko on again. It could happen.
One other fight that got announced for 256, I guess right now it's the co-main event. You got Tony Ferguson. He's fighting against Charles Oliveira.
He was trying
to get Michael Chandler for the longest time, just kind of going after on Twitter. Michael Chandler said, look, I just made a weight cut in Abu Dhabi. I can't turn around and make the weight cut again. I'm happy to fight you in January, but I can't do it. And Tony Ferguson really wanted a fight on this December fight card. He got his wish, but he's going to fight Charles Oliveira, which that'll be a fun fight.
Wait, so Michael Chandler says he can't make the weight cut, but Davison Figueiredo is making the weight cut in 3 weeks' time. That's a little iffy there, Chandler. I'm starting to wonder about him.
I think that, you know, Chandler has a plan. He wants to stay with his with the plan and how long it takes for him to cut weight. He's not interested in rushing a weight cut against someone like Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, he's definitely not interested in rushing a fight.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything weird. He says, look, I'd be happy to fight him in January, but I'm not going to turn around and try to rush a weight cut against someone like Tony Ferguson right now.
All right, now, Jordan, we talked about Shogun possibly retiring, but it looks like the UFC has officially released Anderson Silva, official this time. What's up with that?
Hey, good on Dana White for sticking to his word. He said he didn't want to see Anderson Silva fight again in the UFC. He said he wasn't going to let him fight again in the UFC, and he's staying true to that. But he's actually doing the right thing and letting him out of his contract in case Anderson wants to go fight somewhere else. Anderson finally responded to these news that he was being released this Saturday on Instagram. I'm going to translate this post. I'm not going to myself, but I'm going to read the translation.
I'm going to say, when did you speak Portuguese?
I didn't want to talk about the subject, especially because I'm on vacation. But as the saying goes, a deal is a deal. I'll make it clear for my fans that this is a moment of joy and a lot of gratitude. I feel free after they tried to enforce my retirement. I love and I always will always love what I do. Wins and losses are part of the game. It has absolutely nothing to do with age. I've made technical flaws and lost, but I haven't lost what matters the most, which is my desire to continue doing what I love. I still got that warrior spirit, and this fire is my heart. In my heart still motivates me. I have no doubt that I'm capable of continuing competing in MMA. I'll use this moment to reflect about my career and set my next steps. Stay tuned. So, Eddie, hearing that, how does that make you feel, Anderson saying, it wasn't my age, it's technical flaws?
Well, he did get busted kind of rushing in his last fight, which was really a technical flaw. He kind of lost his kind of unbalanced. And the way he actually used to knock people out, he got caught that same way. But I still think his best bet is retirement. But while we're talking about Mike Tyson, he does have that new Legends Only League. So maybe that's a place for him to land. I don't know.
Don't make me think about this. Scott Coker, obviously, after the fight against Uriah Hall, Scott Coker was asked about the possibility of signing Anderson Silva. And he said, look, we're happy with the current roster, but I don't think that necessarily cuts out completely, a Bellator run. Maybe you don't want to show your hand if you're Bellator. Maybe you say, hey, we're happy with who we are, and then kind of see what happens. Last week, Eddie, we said that Coker had guaranteed that one Fedor Emelianenko would fight in 2021. Would you like to see a washed Anderson Silva fight a washed Fedor?
Don't you put that juju on Anderson. He does not need to be fighting heavyweights. We saw how that worked out against Daniel Cormier. There's a reason they have weight classes. Now, Coker may have been
Fader's
saying he didn't want him.
Though.
What?
Fedor sometimes is a small heavyweight.
230. That's still a heavyweight. It's plenty heavy. But, you may be right that Coker was saying that he didn't want Silva to make Dana go ahead and release him. Because if he said he wanted him, Dana definitely would have held on to his contract. So, who knows? But I wouldn't mind seeing him in Japan if he's going to do it. Krokop kind of revived his career there for a decent ending when he went over. So, who knows? Speaking of reviving careers, Fabricio Verdum has signed with the PFL, Jordan. What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know if this revives a career. I think this does give you some more options, right? This was kind of surprising to me. We thought that...
Hey, don't crap on my segues.
Well, we thought Verdum was all but a lock to go to Bellator.
Right.
And fight in that rematch against Fedor. But Verdum, coming off that submission victory over Alexander Gustafsson in Abu Dhabi this summer, He's actually decided he's going to sign with the PFL and participate in the heavyweight tournament next year. And you got to think he still has a pretty good shot at winning that $1 million. He was excited about the idea of a tournament, fighting twice in one night, fighting four or five times in a year. Yeah. And the guys that he really has to worry about, they signed Justin Willis. But then you've got like Jared Rosholt, Ali Isayev. He won last year. Isayev is actually pretty good, right? He's 9-0. He's a gold medalist in the European Championship back in freestyle wrestling. He's from Dagestan. So he could be a challenge. But you think, for someone who is as talented as Verdum, this could be an easy $1 million.
Yeah, if he sticks to his ground game and doesn't try to strike with guys that are like half his age, he could easily walk out with that $1 million. Yeah. Now, while we're on the subject of old guys, Jordan, see another good segue there. Titan FC Chief Operating Officer Lex McMahon made his MMA debut Saturday night at age 49. What's up with that?
Lex McMahon, also a friend of the show.
That's right.
And that goes way back. He's been on the show before.
Since we were across town.
Yeah. So he actually he participated in Fighting Force 4 in the Dominican Republic over the weekend. He main evented against a 24-fight veteran named Justin Thornton. They were brawling, and then he won with a rear naked choke. He's been a promoter and a manager for years, and he said that he wanted to have a better understanding of why fighters really step into the cage. And so he came in there. And he was trying to be authentic and didn't want to be disingenuous in how he works with his fighters. And so, good on him, man. He said that he's going to donate his entire fight purse and his sponsorship money to A Hero, which is a nonprofit that connects military veterans through outdoor activities as a means to recover from their physical wounds and psychological trauma to reintegrate with American life. So I think that's pretty awesome. Good on him.
Yeah, that's good. PTSD and vet suicide are major issues that aren't being dealt with enough. And on that note, Jordan, hit us with some new fights.
Man, we've got some great new fights.
Got a ton.
We mentioned Ferguson versus Oliveira, Figueiredo versus Moreno. Also on that fight card, you got Renato Moicano versus Rafael Fiziev. And then you've got Jillian Robertson versus Andrea Lee. I'm going to be honest, though. December 19th, that's the fight card that's headlined by Khamzat Chimaev versus Leon Edwards. You got the co-main event, Jeff Neal versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
That's good.
That fight got really good over the weekend. Jose Aldo versus Marlon Vera. Bilal Muhammad versus Diego Lima, Marlon Moraes versus Rob Font, Misha Serkinov versus Ryan Spann, Chaos Williams fighting Michelle Pereira.
That card's better than the pay-per-view.
Tybura versus Greg Hardy. January 16th, Max Holloway is fighting our boy Calvin Kattar. You got Juliana Pena fighting Sarah McMahon. We mentioned Poirier versus McGregor. We got Nasrat Haqparast versus Armin Sarukian.
Good Lord, man.
January 30th, Pedro Munhoz versus Jimmy Rivera. Chris Weidman, again, that rematch versus Uriah Hall. This is pre-UFC days. Macy Barber fighting Alexa Grasso. And then Caitlin Vieira fighting Yana Kunitskaya. Eddie, that's new fights. That's up with that. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. Jordan, Friday is senior day, and number 20 Texas hosts number 15 Iowa State at 11 a.m. on ABC. You can listen to the game right here on 104.9 The Horn or through the Horn app. Pre-game starts at 7 a.m. So if you're standing in line for Black Friday deals, and you shouldn't be, but if you are, pull up the Horn app and tune in. Listen to Rod talk about how much turkey he ate. How about that?
Yeah, Eddie, I'll be honest, man. I know there's a lot of good football games. There's a lot of good shopping. But the thing I'm most excited about this week, Saved by the Bell, man. Saved by the Bell is making a comeback. And it's like now, like Saved by the Bell, their owner, Zach Morris, is the governor of California.
No, I've heard about
crazy,
this.
Obviously. You got Slater, you got Kelly, you got Jesse. Lisa makes an appearance. Screech, he's got some issues with the people at Saved by the Bell.
Oh.
And they right now, it sounds like he's not in it. But
they're not letting him
I
back.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't be surprised. He's the only guy that's been in every single episode all the way from the new class to college to Miss Bliss. I am pumped for Saved by the Bell. Starts this Wednesday on Peacock.
Are you going to introduce your kids to it?
My kids have all seen every episode of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, not did they see the one that you were in?
They have not seen that one. That's the new class. They have not gotten to the new class.
Okay.
That's actually Hang Time. I wasn't in Saved by the Bell.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of the new class, there's a class of heavyweights main eventing UFC Vegas 15 this weekend. Curtis Blaydes versus Houston's own Derek Lewis. This is going to be a slobber knocker.
Eddie, this is two big heavyweights fighting to see who is the guy after the guy who also could be after the other guy with John Jones coming to the division. So we know that Ngannou versus Stipe is probably the next fight to make. And then if John Jones is really making that move to heavyweight, he's probably going to get the winner of that fight. And so you have number two, Curtis Blaydes, versus number four, Derek Lewis, really fighting to not true. Do what? I mean, the next fight could happen in a year from now. Who knows?
True. But, hey, Derek Lewis is all about his money. And it'll be interesting to see if he's dropped as much weight as he was planning to, because he's going to need as much quickness as he has to get away from Curtis Blaydes and his wrestling.
Yeah, no, Curtis Blaydes, you know, he's got four wins in a row. His last two come over Alexander Volkov and Gio dos Santos. Those are pretty good wins. Derek Lewis has three wins in a row. And, you know, we know Curtis Blaydes is a wrestler, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been the kryptonite of Derek Lewis. So we'll see if he doesn't get caught, you know, taken down and out-wrestled, he could always drop those bungalows on the feet.
Oh, yeah, that is scary. And in the co-main event, got a Corpus Christi born Anthony Smith taking on Devin Clark.
Yeah, kind of a fall from grace for Anthony Smith.
Oh, that's harsh,
you know,
man.
He moved, I hate to say it, right? He moved to light heavyweight, and he looked great. He got that title fight. But since then, he defeated Alexander Gustafsson, and then he lost to Glover Teixeira, obviously the number one contender at light heavyweight. And then he lost to Alexander Rakic. You got Devin Clark, who is not even ranked right now. He's got two wins in a row. And this is a guy that is kind of surging up. And you don't know, is the UFC trying to make a name off of Anthony Smith now?
Yeah, quite possibly. And just below them, we got the return of Rachel Ostovich, probably the best-looking fighter in the whole UFC. She popped for PEDs in June from a fight back, her last fight in January, or her last test in January. So, but that was turned out to be some tainted supplements. So that was just, they gave her 8 months retroactive to the test in January. So she'll be back this weekend facing off against Gina Mazzani, who had been out of the UFC for about a year, but made a return over in Fight Island. And then at the top of the prelim card, Ashley Evans-Smith makes her return. But what you really want to talk about, and we got about 2 minutes here, Jordan, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., Saturday night, opposite UFC, over on, what, Triller? Whatever that is?
Triller, pay-per-view, Fight TV. So Tyson makes his return after 15 years of retirement. Roy Jones has been retired since 2018. Tyson is 54. Roy Jones is 51, fighting to receive the frontline belt. They actually both receive the frontline belt. Eddie, what's crazy about this fight, you can't knock out your opponent. It's 8 2-minute rounds. They cannot get cut. There's no judges. You can't bet on the fight.
Man, they almost just put him in headgear. Why don't they?
This is kind of crazy. Maybe I won't buy this fight.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Maybe try and find some way to watch it on YouTube or something afterwards. I don't think it's going to be worth the money. But Jake Paul fighting a former NBA player, Nate Robinson? What in the world is this sideshow?
Yeah, who knows, right? I mean, Nate Robinson, I don't think he's fought before. Jake Paul has one other professional fight. You got Badu Jack on the fight card as well. I mean, this could be ugly, Eddie, and it's happening at Staples Center. So Saturday night, it's pay-per-view. I think it's $49.95. You can buy it on pay-per-view on Fight TV, on TysonOnTriller.com as well. And then you got a lot of football games going on this weekend.
That's my favorite week of the year, rivalry week. So many games, so many trophies on the line. I can't even get to them all because we're out of time here, Jordan.
All right. Well, hey, guys, have a great Thanksgiving. So much. Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned to Justin and Stu talking all about Austin's own The Undertaker at Survivor Series.
That's right. And remember, there's still a pandemic raging. It's getting worse. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I know it's a holiday, but stay away from people. But, hey, stay positive and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.